Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
A lot of products say they're clean, but what does that mean? Ritual has high standards for what clean means, like their essential prenatal multivitamin, which is heavy metal tested, clean label product certified, and GMO-free. It features key mom-to-baby nutrients like folate, choline, and omega-3. Clean isn't clean enough, especially during pregnancy. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, Saturday morning, Krug Show meets John Chapman Experience. We're ready. We're rolling. We're going to go mocking. We're inside of 2 weeks before NFL Draft 2025. Let's go. Welcome aboard. Join us. Off and running on a Saturday morning on the Krug Show. John Chapman in the house, dual channel mocking on a Saturday. Hope that came out right. Not mocking each other necessarily. We're mocking the 49er draft, but you know what I'm saying. But we're brought to you on my side by Pig at a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in Northern California. We're also brought to you by Sharp Corners Sports Cards and Collectibles, 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, along the Monterey Peninsula. My good friend Anthony Catania is there at 831-521-5264. And we're brought to you by Claw Daddy Arcades, and they're a great follow on Instagram at @claw_daddy_arcades to find a location near you here in Northern California. And as you see over John's head, LearnKey, Upskill Academy, they're an online learning platform, and they are sponsoring the Krug Show, and they are designed to get you job ready in 6 months or less. cybersecurity, marketing, all high demand fields. They offer over 30 certification programs to help you take that next step in your professional career. So check them out. 37 years in biz, 200,000 students. They've helped 100 students get placed with new jobs every month. The links are in the description below. And thanks to all of our sponsors for being proud sponsors of the Krug Show. And by the way, John, our LearnKey sponsor has a draft contest up right now. It's our April draft selection challenge. And all the people have to do, John, is predict the 12 picks, the top 12 picks of the draft. And then the first, the guy who gets the most correct wins a $100 Visa gift card. The second place winner gets a $50 Visa gift card. So hit that link, lock in your board. Let's see who really knows their draft. Good luck. Big thanks to LearnKey Upskill Academy for sponsoring the show and sponsoring the contest. But yeah, if you can match who's going to go picks 1 through 12, and John and I are going to help you by telling you what we think, you know, absolutely join our contest and good luck to everybody. Hopefully you guys all win. And on that note, John, good to see you. And
it's a pleasure, brother.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm fired up about is the draft is approaching, and it wouldn't be you know, a draft without a John Chapman draft party. And the 49erRushRoadTrip.com has got a draft party. Tell people about it. It's obviously Thursday, April 24th, day one of the draft. And Demo's going to be in the house. The hyena. You got a chance to meet a hyena.
Oh, I'm so pumped about this. Our whole goal is just, how do we throw a local party? It's in the North Beach area at Broadway Studios. We're going to be there day one and day two of the draft. Nonstop entertainment, 49ers faithful. Diamador Lenore is going to show up. You get a chance to meet and greet the newest face. I think he's going to be a team captain this year, coming off great year. So all you got to do is go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Get your tickets at $20. Kids get in free with the ticketed adult. The amount of giveaways that we have in store, autographed jerseys, hats, you name it, 49ers trivia, it's going to be incredible. So days one and day two of the draft, you know anybody in the San Francisco area that wants to get together with the faithful, we still have room available. So go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Come party with the faithful. It's going to be a blast.
Oh, man, and the hyena is first rate, man. I mean, if you get a chance to meet this guy, you really should. He's the real deal. You know, I remember talking to him late last year and he was talking about some game and he's like, yeah, but now they got to play us and we're just a little bit different. We're a little different. You know, and it's just I love talking to the guy. He loves to play. He's a great teammate. What a fantastic steal of a draft choice. He was 5th round pick out of Oregon. I talked to him on draft day from his draft party, John, where he had all of his family and friends there. And, you know, he's come a long way. He's come a long way from getting burned and toasted early in his career to losing confidence, coming back, resetting, and reestablishing. And, man, one of the best players on the team for sure. So he will be in the house. So check it out Thursday, April 24th, Friday, April 25th, Broadway Studios, 436 Broadway in the city. As John said, kids free with a ticketed adult. And get tickets at 49erRushRoadTrip.com. And we'll remind you and give you one more promotion of this so you guys can hit this up at the end of the show as well. We'll mention this one more time. So appreciate you guys all supporting John and that draft day party. And John, you guys put out a number of different parties throughout the year. So how many parties would you say, how many get togethers, let's just say, traveling trips, how many over the course of the year would you say you and your channel go on?
Last year we did 7 road games and we do 2 parties for every game. So we do a day before rally wherever the team goes. We're planning on doing every city this year as well. And then we do a huge tailgate. So that's 14 major events last year. And, you know, anywhere from 200 to 600 people showed up at those events last year, which was incredible. We had Frank Gore come out. We had Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman. Like, we don't try to make money on these events. It's just, I'm trying to build something for the faithful. The channel's how I make my money. The Patreon and our subscription is how I feed my family. This is just, I love partying with the faithful and I love football and I love tailgating. And so that's what it is. And so we're just trying to build an atmosphere for fans to get together. That's all we're trying to do.
You know what, John, I'd be super fired up about. I don't know if we can make it happen or not. We'll have to see. We'll have to talk about it off the air, but one of my favorite things to do is to hang out on game day in the parking lot with the faithful and drink beers, throw back shots, have a burger, you know, chop it up, take pictures. And I do it kind of informally, usually once or twice a year, where I'll just, you know, if I'm going to the game with somebody, I'll be like, hey, let's walk through the crowd and then, you know, start talking to people. And, but you know, what I was thinking is maybe we ought to do like a combo Krug Show Rush podcast meet and greet in the parking lot for one of these games. That
sounds like
cool.
Heaven, man. I'm totally in.
When you said that, I mean, the one thing I love is partying with the Niner faithful. There's something about the tailgate crowd, pre-game, you know, nobody's won, nobody's lost, all the hope of the day, you know, I don't know. To me, that is the best. That is the best, especially in the early season, John, when the weather's warm.
Yes.
And it's like, it feels like almost like a college atmosphere. I love it, man. So if we can make that happen, that would be very cool. I mean, I do Niner pregame, but, you know, that's just one segment. We could do it a couple hours before the game and really have a good time. So anyway,
dude, say less. It's happening. It's in the books. I guarantee it's taking place this year, Larry. Can't wait.
Let's do it. All right. Let's get into the draft talk. We're inside of 2 weeks, as you said, the 24th into the draft. So we're 12 days away. And there is something, you know, let's talk about the top 10 in front of the Niners before we get into our own mock draft today. And we have a different theme from today's mock draft, but a lot of intel has come down in the last week to 10 days. And I was telling John before we went live that, you know, some of my opinions on some of the prospects have changed as I've watched them more, as I've studied more. It's really not that I dislike the guys that I liked as much as I'm liking new guys that I'm discovering and watching more of. So I'm not necessarily peeling off of the guys that I like, but I am definitely finding more guys in the draft that I think are really viable. And there's a couple that I want to get to today to mention to John, but let's get into 1 through 10 in front of the Niners. How set do you think it is up front? You know, I mean, we do. So what do we know? I mean, Cam's going to Tennessee, correct?
Correct.
Cam's going to Tennessee. That's a lock.
It's over. They've canceled almost all their meetings with all other players. Cam Ward, write it in stone, going number one overall.
So he's going number one to Tennessee. Cleveland at 2 is really where the draft starts. And it sounds like they're not going Shador. But maybe it's all smokescreen. Maybe they are. But a lot of people think Abdul Carter. But as we get closer, I'm starting to think it's Travis Hunter. Just because Travis Hunter, when you take the deep dive on all the prospects, he's the best prospect in the whole draft. Why do I say that? Because he not only is the greatest athlete, but he's also the greatest student. He's an incredible, great student. He's like a 4.0 GPA student, and he's a two-way player who dominates on both sides of the ball. He's a number one shutdown corner with great ball skills, like a Jalen Ramsey, and he's kind of a home run hitter receiver who could give you, I don't think a full-time receiving thing, but he could probably give you 15 to 20 routes over the course of a game. What do you think Cleveland's going to do it to?
Yeah, I think Travis Hunter makes a lot of sense because they don't have a franchise guy that, like, Deshaun Watson was supposed to be him. That went horribly on and off the field. And they knew about that. Like, they need somebody they can promote. The Browns are a terribly run franchise. And you get somebody like a Travis Hunter, Heisman winner, face of the program, going to help you sell tickets and jerseys. I know that's shallow, but this is the NFL, and I think that it does play. So from an optics perspective, that is your move. Helps offense, defense. You're going to move on from Deshaun eventually. Shedeur Sanders would be an upgrade, but why not go get a blue chip guy on a roster without a lot of blue chip players outside of Myles Garrett, right? So this will help you continue to build. I think that's the right move. I would go Abdul Carter, but you're not wrong with Travis Hunter. I think that makes sense. And so if I was betting the number two pick, I think it would be Travis as well.
So let's just say for the conversation, Hunter goes 2 to Cleveland. Then you got the Giants on the board at 3. And I don't have a real good feel for this. I mean, they could go Abdul Carter, and this could affect the Niners, because if they do go Abdul Carter, they may be willing to trade, Kayvon Thibodeau. And Kayvon Thibodeau is only 25 years old or 26 years old, and he's a pretty damn good edge rusher. The Niners could do worse than adding Kayvon Thibodeau to their defensive front.
Dude's a stud, man.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with the Giants, is their strength is pass rushers. And so now the best pass rusher falls to them. Do you just keep loading at pass rushers, or do you trade back? I think that this is probably the first trade of the draft. And I think that it would make sense for them to fall back a couple picks. Somebody jump up for the premium pass rusher or the quarterback Shadur right here. But if they did stay put, man, I don't think they're going quarterback either. I don't think that makes sense. They're going to completely clean that facility out, front staff, after this year, and rightfully so. They should have done it last year, in my opinion. But, you know, I could see Mason Graham here as a possibility. I could see offensive tackle. It should be Abdul Carter. But, man, the Giants are just always in the worst place at the worst time. That just continues for them at pick three. But they should go defensively. It should be Mason Graham. It should be Abdul Carter or trade out. I think that's the way that they should build it. They got the two quarterbacks. I don't think they're going to draft a third right now. Great quarterback class next year, and I think they're going to refocus with a new coach.
So I agree. I think this is a trade spot. Now, do you see the 49ers in any kind of a trade up mode, looking for one of the top, trying to pick off one of the top tier prospects? Or do you think they're in a mode to wait at 11 or possibly trade back? How, you know, will the Niners be calling the Giants? Because the Giants could, I mean, if you think about it, if you want Shadur, you know, I mean, or let's just say you're the Giants, they may want Shadur, they may want Jackson Dart. If you want to make sure you get one of them, trading back with the Niners at 11 probably gets you that quarterback and with better value, and you get something out of it. But would it make sense for the Niners to jump up to 3? And if so, are they jumping up for Will Campbell? Are they jumping up for Mason Graham? Who are they jumping? Armon Membu? Who are they jumping up for if they jump up?
If Abdul Carter's there in this situation, that would be the guy you trade up for. But jumping from 11 to 3, we saw what it took to go from 12 to 3 in the Trey Lance trade. Obviously, that went terribly wrong. You're giving up at minimum a third and another first-round pick. I think it's too rich. If you did trade up, though, Abdul Carter would be the pick the next one. The only two players I'd trade up for in this draft would be Abdul Carter and Mason Graham. I'm not trading up for one of these offensive linemen. It's not a dire need this year. It would be next year. And I think 3 is way too rich, probably. It sucked those years where the Niners didn't have a first or even a first and second round pick. I don't want to go back to that. And if they're going to build through the draft, you can't do that by trading away future firsts.
Yeah, no, I agree. So who do you have at 3 with the Giants? You have Carter, or Sanders, or you think somebody trades into this spot and takes Carter? Or
I would say trade first, and then I would probably say Abdul Carter. Like, he should go. You build around good players.
How concerned are you? I mean, it's like, you know, now I'm looking closer at every prospect, and there's warts. There's literally warts on almost every prospect, and that's part of what we're going to do in our mock today. Is we're going to try to find safe picks, guys that don't have warts, guys who, you know, have production and health and character. Abdul Carter worries me in two areas. One, the prevailing wisdom is that he's going to excel more in a defense where he can line up in a 2-point stance. And as opposed to with his hand in the dirt, I mean, just doesn't have a lot of experience with his hand in the dirt. And the Niners are going to make their entire draft around an edge rusher who's undersized as far as weight, who's never really put his hand in the dirt for the most part. He's always been kind of a 2-point rusher. So I've got concerns about his fit in the wide nine. I've got concerns in his ability to play the run on first and second down in the wide nine. And then they were minor offenses, but this guy was arrested 3 times at Penn State. And once as recently as April
of last year. And so I think there's all kinds of reasons to have questions about the maturity of the prospect. And, you know, there's some risk here. There's some risk. I mean, like all edge rushers, you're going to have to refine some technique and get a little stronger and adapt to the league. But this is supposed to be one of the best players in the entire draft. And yet, there's questions. There's some questions as to scheme fit. There's questions as to his ability to play the run. And there's questions about his character. How concerned are you with those questions with Carter?
Yeah, I think that they make sense. But in this class where you're lacking that elite ceiling type player, if Abdul Carter hits, if he does, if he reaches what everybody thinks he could be, you are talking about a TJ Watt type impact. Like, he's that type of guy. He has that bend. He has the burst. Yeah, not great versus the run. He's good versus the run. He's not as bad. And yeah, you'd prefer him in a 3-4. But with all teams running multiple looks now defensively between even and odd fronts, and you got the wide nine, every single team, I think all 32 teams have Abdul Carter on their board. I am not advocating for the 49ers to trade up to him. But if the Niners were picking at 3 and Abdul Carter is there, I think the 49ers would swing at that pick, but there are questions. And I think you alluded to a lot of those. And the injury too, you know, the hairline fracture, they're not going to have surgery. That's another issue. So, and that's the microcosm.
You talk about the foot. He's also got a shoulder issue.
Yeah. That's the microcosm of this class. There is no one that is just clean. Even Mason Graham, who I think is probably one of the safest bets, man, he's got some bad weight on his body, not hyper-athletic, doesn't have elite, you know, length or build, but the tape is great. So, like, even with these guys that are, man, these are stars, these are blue chippers, still questions. Armon Mempu, probably the best tackle. Can he play left tackle? Could you kick him into guard? You know, like, you want him to start at tackle, and he's probably going to go top 5, but, like, is he your ideal left tackle? I don't know if that's the case. And so that is this draft. We could poke holes, paralysis through analysis and whatever else, but I think at the end of the day, Abdul Carter's the number one player on my board, and I would be, whoever gets him, I think had a good draft. Are there questions? Yes.
Yeah. My guess is, in whatever order, it goes Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. I those are the top three players in whatever order. I think they're going to come off the board. I don't think people are going to reach for Shadur that high. So that brings us to New England at 4. I think New England's going to go with Will Campbell. I think so Will too. Campbell's going to New England. I think they're looking for the blindside protector for Drake May. And this guy makes sense. Yeah, he's got some short arms. Yeah, he's a little bit narrow. But so what? The guy did it in the SEC against the best players. I saw the interviews. I saw the Path to the Draft interview that he did this week, and I loved it. I mean, he's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things. He sounds the way I want him to sound. I'm a believer in Campbell. I think Campbell's, you know, I know some people don't like him. He doesn't have ideal length, and some people may view him as a guard because he doesn't have ideal length, but I think that's a mistake. He was a 3-year starter at left tackle in the best conference in college football. He wins with athleticism. He can mirror athletic pass rushers, and he's nasty. So he loves to bury people. He's got kind of he's kind of mean and nasty. So I think Will Campbell is going to the Patriots. I really do.
Yeah, and he fits what Josh McDaniels has had at the offensive line. Just get guys. Joe Thuney, like, you're going to play everywhere, right? Like, just get guys. Get your best 5. He can play multiple spots. It's going to be an offensive pick. Could be Mimbau, but I do agree with you. I think Will Campbell is, like, the Vrabel, the prototypical player, character, all those things. Yeah, offensive pick for sure. Will Campbell would be perfect.
Jacksonville's then next up at 5. A lot of talk about Mason Graham. I will say this about Mason Graham. You know, I mean, the guy has got a bad body. I mean, let's just say it. I mean, this guy's got a bad body. I mean, he's pudgy. He's got a boiler. He doesn't have elite length. He doesn't have elite third down explosion. What he is a super high motor, super quick, former wrestler, who is awesome on first and second down. He's got, you know, he's a three technique monster who can burst through the line of scrimmage, keep, you know, he keeps square on the line of scrimmage. And he just makes plays. He just winds up in the his face mask locked on the running back's face mask. I mean, it's just it's pretty uncanny, really. He makes plays in the backfield against the run. But, you know, once again, I think he's a little maxed out. You can run at him. I think he can. Against doubles, this is not Javon Kinlaw. This is not. And people would say, well, good. But this is what I mean by that is. This is not some absolute behemoth that, you know, splits double teams and eats them for lunch. No. This guy, if you double this guy, you're going to be able to kick him out. I mean, you're going to be able to move him out of there. He's controlled by doubles. He also played around an awesome cast. Josiah Stewart off the edge is going to be a terrific NFL edge rusher. Kenneth Grant's going to be a terrific player. They had great players all over that defense. So, I mean, it's hard to evaluate sometimes players on awesome teams. I love the motor and I love the college production, but I'm worried about the upside. I'm worried about the doughy body. And I'm worried about the durability too. This guy doesn't look, I mean, he really doesn't look the part. Let's just be totally honest. This guy does not look like a top five NFL draft choice.
And, he looks like an offensive guard.
He looks like a guard. He looks like a bouncer out of TGI Fridays.
No more Jack Daniel's sauce for you, Larry.
This is the guy who says, "Hey, I need you to see your ID." You know, he's got a flashlight, and he beats a couple guys up at the door, and saves a couple girls from being harassed. I mean, this guy looks like a bouncer.
He's obviously
a great player. I'm not saying he's not a great player. I'm just saying he may be a little maxed out, and he may not, I know there's a lot of people who are like, oh, if the Niners can figure out a way to somehow trade up, the apple of their eye is Mason Graham. And I like him. Don't get me wrong, but he might be a little low end. I know he'll start right away, but that bad body worries me. I'll just say this. Can you name another bad bodied badass in the NFL on the defensive line? Go for it.
Yeah, it's a hard one. They're out there. You can put DJ Jones in that kind of category, and I think that's the type of player you're looking for. But DJ
Very
Jones
strong.
Came. Very, very strong, bigger dude. But I will say this about Mason Graham.
That's the other thing. That DJ's at 320. That's the other thing. This guy was listed at 320, played at 320, but his measuring and testing is all about 294. So that also is kind of a concern. What's his actual weight, and what does he need to do to maintain that playing weight?
I did think that it was somewhat of a mistake to come in super light and then not test. And then gain weight back and then have your pro day and all that. So I thought that was kind of weird. But at the end of the day, the tape is the tape. And the tape is consistently good for 3 years now.
Yeah, it's very good.
But can you surround, can you build? Now, if he goes to Jacksonville, he's going to be playing next to Eric Armstead. All right, cool. Armstead could play that Kenneth Grant role and take up and absorb blocks and be the plugger role. And then you just let Mason Graham kind of do his thing. So I like the way that fits. And I would be okay if the Niners traded up for him. I do have him as defensive tackle one. I do have him as a top five grade. But again, this draft class, Larry, and you are freaking crushing it. You can poke holes and you can sit there and say, yeah, but at the end of the day, the tape should be first, second, and third priority. The testing and all the eye tests and all those things, I think that they are secondary metrics. The tape is just so consistently good. Against the pass, against the run. Is he elite at anything? No, but he's not even like a jack of all trades. He's like a king of all trades. He just does everything you want to win football games. And there's not a lot of those guys in this draft class. There's not. So I would have no problem. I think Jacksonville will take him at five. I think if he falls past five, that's where the 49ers start picking up the phone, see if they can get a bargain trade up. I would be very happy if the Niners traded up for him, but they have so many holes. I don't think that's a luxury that they can afford after skipping basically free agency on the defensive side of the ball.
Springtime is here, and baseball season is officially underway. Don't miss your chance to add your favorite players from the diamond in your Prize Picks lineups. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, or first inning runs, take your pick of more or less for your shot to win up to 1,000 your cash today. On Prize Picks, you can mix and match players' projections from different sports, combine your favorite baseball players with your players from basketball, hockey, esports, and much more. Also, Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick, easy deposits into this sports season. So sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So head over to prizepicks.com, or you can go to the app, download the app today, and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, go to prizepicks.com or download the app and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. April is Financial Literacy Month. That's right. They made a whole month reminding you to finally take control of your money. Good news, you don't need 30 days. Acorns makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future in just 5 minutes. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorn lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if it's only spare change. I love Acorns, and I've used it for over 3 years now, because if I'm busy, it takes care of it. If I have time to spend a lot of time in research, that option's there too. So sign up now and join over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion, with a B, billion dollars with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/49ers, that's 49ERS, or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
Well, here's a scenario that could unfold. There's a lot of talk coming out of Chicago right now that the Bears are absolutely in love with Ashton Jeanty, and that the Bears want Jeanty, and that the Bears are going to take Jeanty at 10, or the Bears love him so much they may trade up for him. And if they love him so much, the team they want to get in front of is the Raiders, who are at 6. So you may see Jacksonville trade with the Bears, and the Bears may jump in front of the Raiders and take Jeanty at 5. I think that's a possibility. But let's just say it doesn't happen. Jacksonville goes with the big defensive lineman, Mason Graham. And so now you got the Raiders on the clock at 6. And do they go Ashton Jeanty? There's a lot of talk there. Do they go Shadur? Do they go Jackson Dart? Do they pull a wild card? Do they take Membu? Mikel Williams? You know, I mean, it's you know, Shamar Stewart. I think this is kind of, if Jeanty's there, you know, I think the Raiders probably want Jeanty, and there's been a lot of talk about that. But what do you think? What do you think the Raiders do at 6?
The one thing that has been consistent with Pete Carroll since that addition, it's win now. So I do not see a quarterback. You have the oldest coach in the NFL. Yeah, you just signed Geno Smith. What is the most win now pick? Yeah, you have a deficit at the running back position. You saw different teams do this with, you know, the Lions taking Gibbs and it just panning out immediately. They're trying to win now. I think Jeanty is almost a lock at this position. I really, really do. And the only way, like you said, Larry, you got a crystal ball in what I'm thinking over here. The only way Ginty isn't the pick to the Raiders is if they trade out and you get the Bears or the Denver Broncos or somebody to trade up and get their running back. Like, that's it. Like, Ginty's going top six. It's a lock. Whether somebody leapfrogs the Raiders and takes them, or the Raiders take them, or the Raiders trade out and somebody takes them, he's a lock.
And this could impact the Niners. Why? Because I think, you know, one, if Jacksonville makes the deal with the Bears, if the Bears trade up to five to get in front of the Raiders and take Ginty, so now the Bears at five take Ginty and the Raiders are sitting at six, what do the Raiders do at six? I think you're right. Shador probably isn't going to be their guy. So I think the Raiders at that point might be a trade candidate for the Niners, just from the standpoint of, okay, they wanted Ginty. They wanted Ginty. The Bears jumped in front of them and got Ginty. They don't want Shador. They're sitting at six. They probably could get the same guy at 11. The Niners, if you do think like Mason Graham and want to trade up for Graham, that might be the spot right there where the Niners trade with the Raiders. And I'll say this, the other guy that I'd be very intrigued to get in this draft from the Raiders is Michael Mayer. You know, I have a couple guys listed as veterans that I'd like to see the Niners come away with this week or in the draft weekend. Mayer's one of them. I love the tight end class, but you know what? I like Mayer as much as most of them. And I think Mayer would be a really nice player who at this point has not come into his own, but I think has an ability to really come into his own in San Francisco, and be that, you know, be that 12 personnel second tight end next to Kittle. I think that would be intriguing. So, but for the sake of it, we'll say Campbell goes forward to New England. We'll say Jacksonville takes Graham. The Raiders take Ginty, and now the Jets are on the clock at seven. In this scenario, I think they're going Membu. I just think the Jets need a right tackle, and I think they would probably go Armand Membu. But there's also talk that the Jets want a quarterback, and maybe they'll go Jackson Dart here. Maybe they'll go Shador here. Shador and Dart are the wild cards in the top 10 for sure. I think this is a spot in the New Orleans spot where they could go. So this could be, you know, this could be Membu to the Jets, or this could be a quarterback to the Jets. What do you think?
Yeah, Membu makes so much sense. You pay Justin Fields. I think you got to build that out, and you got to give that a shot. You paid that dude $20 million a year. Like, let's see what happens. Why not build around him? You have a solid roster. The defense is great. You just got to get adequate offensive line protection, and I just don't think that you have it. Chukwuma Okorafor is currently your right tackle. Why not go get the best, cleanest right tackle in the draft, plug and play? Membu goes there. Athleticism with Fields Membu, it's a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I mean, you got Fashanu at left tackle. He's your blue chipper. Now you got Membu at right tackle. If you're the Jets, you know, build with some anchor tackles. And then Carolina's at eight. I think they're going with one of the Georgia guys. I think there's a chance Mikel Williams goes here, but there's also a very good chance that Jalen Walker goes here. And I would say Walker would probably be who I'd lean to going here at eight. What do you think? Or do you see, you know, there's also a lot of people that feel like Shamar Stewart as a wild card could jump into any of these spots because it's beauty in the eye of the beholder with a guy who has that high end potential.
And, you know, like probably the best Shamar Stewart comp is Jadeveon Clowney. Guess where Jadeveon Clowney is, right? He would start opposite Clowney. Do they have a type? If they do, yeah, why not? Shamar would be a perfect fit there. They have a huge need opposite of that. It makes sense. It really, really does. So I could see that. I think their offensive line, they're completely happy with. I think this is where you start to talk Tet McMillan. I think it's a little early for him. But like, if you're going to invest and you want to make sure Bryce Young's going to be the guy, why don't you get him some more weapons? But I just don't think there's enough value to go Tet McMillan there. They're going to give Xavier Leggett more chances to be that true X. They moved out. They traded their wide receiver they took a year before to the Cowboys. I like the Shamar, and I hope if I could have anything for the 49ers perspective, I'd have Shamar Stewart go here because I don't want the Niners taking him at 11. And so this would push somebody else down further. But I do think it's a better fit. He would be a better fit on the Panthers than he would the Niners.
Yeah. So, you know, I think a super athletic defender goes here. Mikel Williams, Shamar Stewart, Jalen Walker. I'll say it's Mikel Williams, but I don't know. I'm just guessing. All right. Here's where the thing really takes a turn. We're two picks away from the Niners pick. The Saints are on the clock. Derek Carr's just came out that he's got a serious injury. He's going to need a surgery. This is likely going to be a quarterback. Now, there's Cam Ward is the number one quarterback. Then it truly is. And I talked to a buddy of mine who scouts who said, Krug, the one thing I said, give me, there's always wrinkles. There's always surprises. I said, you're on the inside. I'm on the outside. Take me and bring me on the inside and tell me what you think the outside the box surprises that the public are not talking about. What's going on around the league in the inner circles of the talks. The guy said to me, he said, one, watch for the Saints at 9. And he said, you know what? Every team has QB 2, 3, and 4 listed differently. And he said he thinks this could be Jackson Dart. He said he thinks this could be Shedeur Sanders. But he also said that he thinks there's a 10 to 15% chance that it's Jalen Milroe. And I said, what? Jalen Milroe is going to go 9th in the draft after that horrendous Senior Bowl where he looked atrocious? He didn't look like a quarterback? And he's like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of teams that love his attitude, arm strength, and mobility. There's teams out there that feel that they can coach him up, that he's got a great attitude, that he's not a diva, that, you know, there's concerns about the quirks of Jackson Dart. There's concerns about the skill set of Shedeur, who doesn't necessarily have great arm strength or great stature, and, you know, is a high percentage completion percentage guy, but is it accuracy? Is he throwing underneath? There's questions about Shedeur. There's questions about Dart. There's questions about Milroe. But my guy said there's a chance that Milroe goes top 10 in front of the Niners. Now, John, I mean, how shocked would you be on draft day at the draft party? How shocked would you be if you're right here. You're at the draft party. You're talking to the hyena for crying out loud. And Jalen Milroe goes 9 to the Saints.
I would be flabbergasted, but I can understand. You know, the NFL is a copycat league. Who just won the Super Bowl, right? Jalen Hurts. And so you have this mobile, high character, high work ethic, high athlete, strong arm. He's got limitations, but if you surround him with quality coaching and quality players and a strong O-line, yeah, it can work. And so, you know, how much do they believe in Spencer Rattler? You know, Jake Haener, that's on there too. But, man, this is crazy that one, they chose to stay with Derek Carr. I thought that was a mistake. And supposedly they knew about this injury before they guaranteed another $20 million. That's crazy to me. And now he might not even play.
From Invader? He says, Milroe got the draft invite. And I forgot to even mention that. Yeah, they invited him to New York. And the last thing they want is Aaron Rodgers 2.0 with Milroe sitting there. And why is he not being drafted? Oh, look at him. He looks a little stressed. So that right there tells us that somebody in the NFL told the NFL people this guy's going in the first round.
I think he will. I think top 10's rich. But we thought that last year. Nobody had 6 of the top 12 picks being quarterbacks last year. Nobody had that. And so this is a super quarterback needy year. And now the Saints, you know, who were thought to be, okay, they got 1 to 2 years. Now they're in dire straits. So, yeah, Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders seems to be the common thing. I've been saying 3 quarterbacks in the first round, and maybe Milroe sneaks in there. This would be crazy. But I would love it as a Niners fan.
Oh, as a Niners fan, you'd love it. So that brings us to the pick in front of the Niners, 10. And if the Bears can't trade up for Jeunty, do they go for Omarion Hampton at the 10th pick overall? Do they trade back? Who do you think the Bears want if they don't get Jeunty? They don't need a quarterback. They don't really need an offensive lineman. The defensive lineman, Graham, that, you know, that they're supposedly interested in if he falls in their lap, has gone off the board. The board's played pretty straight, right? It's gone Cam Ward, Hunter, Abdul Carter, Will Campbell, Mason Graham, Ashton Jeanty, Armand Membu, let's say Jaylon Walker, Mikel Williams, Shamar Stewart, somebody goes there at 8. Quarterback surprise at 9. What do you do if you're the Bears at 10?
Yeah, here's the thing. You look at their head coach, right? He was in this exact same situation with the Lions, where everybody had the same number one overall, you know, running back, and it wasn't Jamar Gibbs. Who went ahead of Jamar Gibbs? That was like, it was Bijan Robinson, right? Consensus greatest running back ever, right? Well, they tried to trade up in that draft. They didn't do it, but they were able to stay still. It took Gibbs, but you know, rumors were that they had Gibbs higher than Bijan Robinson. I could totally see this exact same situation with this team. And so this is where I think Omarion goes. Travion Henderson, a little bit of a dark horse, but you could throw in some of, you know, Tyler Warren. I could totally
see. Tyler Warren makes a lot of sense.
Him making a play here. Yeah, they have Cole
Kmet. He sounds like a Chicago Bear.
And if any coordinator could use him, Kyle Shanahan, and then also, you know, Ben Johnson, I think could utilize him better than anybody else.
Yeah. So then you got the Niners sitting there at 11. Let's just say it's Tyler Warren, I should say. I'm looking at Mason Graham's name on a paper. Tyler Warren. Let's just say Tyler Warren, because Tyler Warren also could go earlier. He could go to the Jets. He could go. The one pick I'm pretty sure Tyler Warren won't go to, he won't go to the Raiders. Pretty sure. Could you imagine if the Raiders went Tyler Warren after getting Bowers last year and Mayer the year before that? I mean, that would be so Raiders. But I think Tyler Warren's probably going to go top 10 to the Bears. And then you get the Niners sitting there at 11, and they're sitting there looking at either reaching, if you want to call it that, for Walter Nolan, Kenneth Grant, or taking Jaylon Walker, Shamar Stewart, or Mikel Williams, whoever didn't go to Carolina and is left on the board. The Niners could be staring right at Shamar Stewart. The Niners could be staring right at Mikel Williams. My concern with Mikel Williams is he had 14 sacks in his entire career. And he didn't work out great. Like he was, I'm always leery of the these prospects where it's like you look at them closer and there's nothing there. I call them the cotton candy prospects. Trey Lance was like this. Oh yeah. He's got a great arm. Oh, well, he doesn't have a great arm. Oh, he's got great mobility. Oh, he doesn't have great mobility. Well, then he's not a very good prospect. You know, if he doesn't have great arm and he doesn't have great mobility, he's not really a very good prospect. So, and it's like, I'm starting to look at some of these guys like Mikel Williams. It's like, he doesn't have elite production. Well, guess what? Maybe he has elite traits. That's why he's going to get drafted. And I think that was the thinking coming into the draft process, was that he's going to show in his workouts that he's a man among boys and has elite traits. And everybody's going to look away from mediocre production and say, it was the ankle. But the traits, he ran 4.7. And so he doesn't, now you're looking at him, he's like, he doesn't have great traits. He doesn't have great production. He's got body beautiful, but I mean, it's not a movie. It's a football game. So you got to have guys that don't just look the part. You got to actually be good. So I don't want to see them go Mikel Williams. I understand your concerns about Shamar Stewart, though I'm a bigger fan of Shamar Stewart, because I really think that, what people don't understand about Shamar is that his motor is off the charts and he hasn't been coached up that well. If Chris thinks he can coach him, the athleticism is going to stay. The motor is going to stay. And he does play very hard. I think I would go Walter Nolan here if I were the Niners, but that, you know, he's projected to go 10, 12, 15 picks later. So, how do you play this before we move off of this? How do you play this at 11?
It's hard, right? Because production's a major issue with both Mikel Williams and Shamar Stewart, which should probably be the pick that you're going at this spot because of the value, the positional value. Usually this is where defensive ends go and they always get pushed up the board. So, you know, if you're looking at, you know, Shamar Stewart's got 4 career sacks, like 4. Okay. Mikel Williams got 14. You have to knock them both. Neither one of them performed to the level that you're hoping they're going to perform. The athleticism, Shamar Stewart's got that in spades. So like that's hard. Defensive tackle is a bigger need on this roster. Like you don't have a starting defensive tackle. I like Evan Anderson. He's a rotational run stopper, but like you don't have a starter. So defensive tackle is a bigger need. Walter Noland, Kenneth Grant. I would throw Derek Harmon in there. I know you're not a Derek Harmon guy. Those guys should go in the 20s. So this is the problem. You're sitting there at 11, and there's a bunch of, could I talk myself into this guy at this position? That's the problem. You want to trade back, but who wants to trade up? You got to have two to tango. If you don't have that.
When who and what would they be trading up for? I mean, exactly. maybe Dart or Shadur if they don't go in front of the Niners. One of those quarterbacks, I mean, the only thing is, if Cam goes one, and let's just say, Shadur goes in the top 10, there may be, the Pittsburghs of the world, some of these teams that need a quarterback may get nervous. I've seen offers where people are saying, hey, Steelers offer 26 first-round pick and 21 to move up to 11. Would you move back for next year's one
for
the Steelers?
Yeah, if we get there this year's pick as well. So, if you get 21 this year and their first, yes, I can't see Tomlin offering that for a Jackson. He already had Kenny Pickett, right?
Right.
And so like, man, Jackson Dart, Kenny Pickett, birds of a feather, no offense. He's probably going to be a better pro, but like, man, where are the elite traits? He's got the moxie, but I would do it from the Niners. I can't see that coming across the table from Mike Tomlin. I don't see him panicking ever.
I think the ideal spot for the Niners is trade back. Now the question is, can they? And then if you trade back, who do you want? I'd like Kenneth Grant or Walter Noland.
Love it.
But I'll tell you, there's another guy that I really do love the more I watch him. And, it's funny because it's like people start lecturing me on football and it's like, dude, seriously, you're going to tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. whatever. I mean, it's not that big a deal. We all have opinions. I love Tyler Booker, and I understand that he played in a power gap scheme and the Niners run a zone, outside zone scheme, and he's a guard. But you're telling me, compared his numbers to Banks, but just comparing his numbers to Pooney from last year, he had a better 40 than Pooney. Pooney had a better three cone and a better short shuttle, but Booker had a better 40 than Pooney and very similar size. I Baldy did a whole breakdown the other day on Path to the Draft, and I love Baldy. I'm going to try to get him on the show. Again, we had him on last year, and he was just, Baldy's a guard, right? Baldy's an offensive lineman. So I always listen to Baldy, especially, I love Baldy, but I love Baldy on the offensive line even more. He's talking about Tyler Booker the other day on that Path to the Draft, and he's like, this is an awesome player. This is a difference maker. This is a 15-year starter. This is a plug-and-play dominant guy. The Niners need a starting left guard. He plays left guard, okay? He is a starting left guard. I understand. If you're looking to pull, your left guard, this is not your guy. This is not your guy if you want to pull around and move your guards. But you're trying to say, oh, you can't go for Tyler Booker when you just had Aaron Banks is rich. And the other thing is this is a absolute – the Niners don't move anybody in the middle of the field. They cannot run on the goal line. They can't get any push. This guy would give you that push. I'm a huge – the more I watch Booker – the more I'm like, oh my God, Booker is absolutely, absolutely a beast. And speaking of the beast, so our friend Dane Brugler has his draft guide. And John, I don't know if you subscribe to
The
Athletic, but the Beast is the best draft guide there is. But let me just it's this year it's even better. And he's got it. This is what he says about Tyler Booker that is just it's just an amazing 2-year starter at Bama, lined up at left guard in Kalen DeBoer's run heavy RPO based scheme. That's not what I wanted to read you. I wanted to read you a little bit more about this guy. He projects as an immediate starting guard with the tools and competitive character that are easy to bet on. Let's see. What I wanted to get to. Here it is. Let me see. Here it is. He's the middle of three children, born and raised New Haven, Connecticut. Okay, that's this and that. Where was it? Okay, he played seventh and eighth grade football as a fifth grader. Okay, that's at age 11, he went to Nick Saban's football camp, and that's when he made up his mind he wanted to play in the NFL. But he grew up in an athletic family. His uncle starting left tackle at Michigan State, and then played in NFL Europe and went to the Steelers. He's also an accomplished track athlete. In his childhood, he medaled in the shot put, discus, and javelin. Elected high school Bergen Catholic in New Jersey, all boys Catholic school. Now, where is it? There's something as a junior. Okay. Four-star recruit. This is a long thing, but basically, they were saying that this is the guy, that got Alabama ready to roll. Well, that when they lost, was it they lose to Vandy? That this was the guy who got everybody fired up again, and he was the leader. And it's all in there. But I mean, this guy, he's very, very special as a dominant blocker. And I understand he's not necessarily a perfect scheme fit, but what this guy does as a guard is so dominant at the point that I would absolutely be interested in this player. Do you look at Booker and just say, doesn't have the movement ability? I mean, he has the movement ability of Aaron Banks. The question is, did Banks have the movement ability that they were looking for? So there's that.
I remember.
To me, I think this is a dominant. Baldy made it seem like this is a dominant, can't miss, road grading guard that's going to be great for 15 years. And at the end of the day, if you started your draft with, your starting left guard for the next 15 years and Pooney and Booker just anchored your dominant run game, I understand he doesn't have the zone blocking speed and this and that, but I gotta be honest. I'm tired of these underpowered, speedy zone blockers who get their ass kicked on the goal line. The Niners have a whole roster full of these guys, and they can't run worse shit. So, yeah. I mean, they run the ball well, but they can't run the ball on the goal line when they need to run. So I'm looking for somebody a little bit more forceful in the middle. And what do you think of Booker?
I think that he's a can't-miss prospect. I think that his best fit is going in a super – this sounds weird – pass-heavy offense because he's so wide. And where you could do the power gap scheme and all that stuff, run game, yeah, he's going to excel at that. But I think he's at his best in pass protection. Even though the movements are in question, nobody can get around him. He got 34.5-inch arms. He's wide as hell. His wingspan's incredible. Like, nobody can get around him. It sounds like Aaron Banks' upside. So if you can go with Aaron Banks, who I didn't even scout that year because I looked at the height, weight, and 40 and short shuttle, and I was like, dude, this guy don't fit the Niners. And they took him. I was like, what? So if you're going to include Aaron Banks, I think you have to include Booker. Now, 11, way too rich because it's not the scheme fit. But if he is there at 43 and you took him, man, there is – I guarantee you, Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, Isaac Garrando, all those guys are going to be like, hell yeah, because he's going to make all of them better. The run game just got better. Pass game just got better. The consistency. And you watch his tape. Team captain, you brought it up. Holds everybody accountable in the locker room. You're bringing in a football guy that stayed when Bama had that huge change, right, from Saban on. He stayed and corralled the locker room together. If he's there at 43, I'd be happy with taking Booker. So I don't think the Niners pull him off the board. If you have Aaron Banks on your board at any point in time, Tyler Booker better sure as hell well be there.
This guy hunts violence on the line of scrimmage and seeks it out. He describes his play style as legal assault. Booker said, I make guys not love football anymore. Supposedly he's laser focused. He's been on a mission to be an NFL player since he was in grade school. He's durable. He started 27 of the last 28 games at Alabama. He's the team captain who describes himself as a natural born leader, gets the most out of his teammates. A quote from an NFL scout. He keeps everyone accountable in that locker room. After Alabama's Vandy loss, Book was the guy who got everyone back on track. So, I mean, to me, this is, I don't think, what the Niners really need at the end of the day, they don't need to fill their needs. They need great players. So let's stop looking for, well, we need a swing tackle. You need a great player. Give me great players. And I think Booker is a great player. And I there's no way I would take him at 11. But if I could trade back into the 20s and get that pick in the second round, and then feel like I can get Booker and Nolan, you know, in whatever order, maybe Nolan first, maybe Booker first, but maybe a couple picks between 22 and 40, somewhere in there. If you could trade back and get two picks between 22 and 40. So maybe that 43rd pick is your third selection overall, not your second. That's kind of what I'm looking for, is something like that. And maybe even throwing some other draft capital in addition to get that high second, and then see if you could get Nolan and Booker, Grant and Booker. I just want to come out of this draft with some absolute line of scrimmage. The 49ers are different now because they got these guys. And I think those guy like Booker, a guy like Grant, a guy like Nolan, I think they all fit the bill. All right. I was at the local pro day. And I got to share with you the one guy that I saw at the local pro day that I couldn't believe. Dude, there was a slot receiver, John, at the local pro day from Washington named Giles Jackson.
Oh,
and dude, I mean, look this kid up. 5'9", 180 pound kid. He's since it's local pro day, he's local, right? He went to Freedom High School in Antioch. He got a full ride to Michigan. He ran a kickback as a freshman, as a true freshman. Ran a kickback for a touchdown at Michigan. Transferred to UW. This year caught 85 balls for 893 yards and 7 touchdowns. He ran 4.45 at his pro day. But guys I've talked to, including Softy Mahler, said, man, this guy's a 4.3 guy. I mean, he's just a burner. 6 years in college, very durable player, hardly ever missed a game. And then this year, his biggest games against in the Apple Cup, you know, Washington Wazoo, eight catches, 162 yards and a touchdown. In the Sun Bowl against Louisville, 11 catches for 161 and 4 touchdowns. He looked so much the best player on the field that I had no idea who he was. And I'm like, who is that guy? I mean, he was just the stop and the start and the explosiveness and the speed and the hands and the effort, the energy that he was putting forth in these drills. Difference making, you know, undrafted free agent. We're not talking about a draft pick. We're talking about an undrafted player. But remember that one, Giles Jackson. I think the Niners could definitely use a slot receiver, you know, especially since they don't necessarily know what they're getting out of Cowing yet. This guy could maybe be a little bit of a kick in the butt to Cowing. 5'9", 180 slot receiver, but man, Giles Jackson, he really looked good. Really, really
good. I'm seeing he had a 6'7", 3 cone. That is awesome. That's Trent Taylor.
Yeah, dude, you should have seen the, you know, in that drill where they go, they sprint this way, they turn that way, they sprint that way, they turn back. You know, his agility in the short area and his stop and start was so much more explosive. I mean, Nick Nash was out there. You had other guys out there who were decent players. This guy stood out, Giles Jackson. So anyway,
love to hear that.
Before we get to the mock, Matt Barrows has his draft crush out. He always picks one. He's going with Chris Paul, the linebacker from Ole Miss. What do you think of that one, Chris Paul?
Yeah, he's a Niners fit. I think the Niners have met with him 3 times.
Really?
they've met with him over and over and over again. I'm a little bit lower. I have a 4th round grade on him. I've seen him as high as 3rd round, but yeah, he's just one of those guys. He's a little small, you know, 6 foot 220, but this is what Robert Saleh does. He gets those 6 foot 220 safeties and converts them down. Did it with Jamien Sherwood, did it with Marcel Harris, did it with DFF. Like, Chris Paul's a linebacker, but he's on the smaller side. But speed matters, and I wanted him to test better. He ran a 4.63, which is good. But for the smaller guys, you're hoping for a little bit better speed. he's just such a clean player. Twitched up, small, built right, tough, makes great decisions consistently. Ole Miss, one of your dudes, really, really like him. And I think Barrows understands Niners like this guy a lot.
Well, you know what? He's got that all-out play style, according to Brugler. He's a Georgia kid who went to Arkansas. So, I mean, the irony if he replaced Greenlaw, isn't it? Because he went to Arkansas and then played 1 year at Ole Miss. He was a one-year starter at Ole Miss in their 4-2-5 defense. He played the Mike linebacker spot. He was productive in his first three seasons at Arkansas. He played his best ball, though, after transferring to Ole Miss. He led the team in tackles in 2024. So he played behind a great defensive line with Pegues and Walter Nolan, but highly active. That's a great player. I mean, to me, if you could get a guy like Chris Paul, to me, Chris Paul is a defining type player in this year's draft. This draft is packed with small, talented, productive linebackers, and he's probably the best of them.
Where would you take him, Larry?
I'd probably take him with the last pick of day two.
That 100 pick.
Yeah, I'd probably take him there. Or maybe I'd pray that he falls to the beginning of the fourth round, and see if I could get him there. That would be my thought. Somewhere in there, depending on how the rest of the board was going. Somebody's like, what about Oladejo at 43. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of indication that the Niners will go for Oladejo if he's there at 43. But we'll see. We'll see. All right, it is time for our so who would you say if I said draft crush? If you had to do your own draft crush, who would you go with?
I call them rush crushes, right? 49ers rush, that's what we do. Shout out to my man Yahtzee.
Who's your rush crush?
Jacob Parrish, cornerback, Kansas State, tough as hell. And I hate Kansas State as a Longhorn fan. I just want to let you know that. But he is the epitome whenever I watch him. Like, he is just mean as hell, fast as hell, loves football, and just wants to – if you put Dre Greenlaw at corner, that's Jacob Parrish. And so now I've got a second-round grade on him. I expect him to go in the third round. But Jacob Parrish, if there's, like, one guy I wish we could get – cornerback Jacob Parrish is just Niners met with him too, so he's on their kind of board, and he's a gold helmet guy. Awesome off the field, tough as hell, good coverage, top end speed, quality tape, just checks every damn box.
Okay, so for my draft crush, I'm gonna go with a guy that I really liked early in the thing, and then I kind of went away from. I didn't. The injuries bothered me a little bit, and I started liking other receivers, but I'm back with this guy now. I'm a huge fan. I love Trey Harris. I think Trey Harris, the Ole Miss receiver, I mean, he's just a complete receiver. He's an X receiver. He's got size. He's got speed. He's good on contested catches. He's dynamic. 25 of his 62 receptions were explosives. So that's a great percentage of your catches being explosives. He's got deep speed. He can run all the routes. He's got hands. To me, he's a complete receiver. Size, speed. If you're going to have somebody and if you're looking for somebody to step in as a rookie receivers don't typically do it. To me, if you're looking for a guy who can step in, it's either Egbuka, who's a very polished receiver, who's great in the slot. I think he's a plug and play receiver. And then I would say Trey Harris, Egbuka in round one, Harris in round two. Those to me are the receivers. If you're looking to get a receiver to come in and actually play and maybe even start and play a lot, I would say Egbuka, but in round one is very polished. But I love Trey Harris. I think, and Trey Harris, the more I look at the receivers, John, the more I think, you know what? I love Jalen Royals. There's other guys that I really like.
I do too.
I like Dante Thornton on day three. I mean, there's a bunch of prospects out there that I really, I mean, I kind of like Tez. I'm intrigued by Tez. Luther Burden is one of my favorites as well, but Savion Williams is just a beast of a monster of a guy. He's just so violent. I love Savion Williams, but if I got to have that receiver that can step in and make plays right away, I'm going Trey Harris. He was a high school quarterback who convert. He was Malik Nabers' quarterback. That was, Nabers was his receiver. And then Harris is just, you know, he's got good size. He's a complete receiver. I think he's going to be a stud in the NFL. I think he's going to be, you know, these Ole Miss receivers sometimes really play big. And I like all three of them this year. I love Jordan Watkins. I love Juice Wells, but Harris is the best.
Yeah, he's a fun player. But my biggest issue, because like if we were going to trade Ayuk, which that's passed, thankfully, I was like, dude, Trey Harris, like in round two would be like just plug the X role, right? Like you just move him over. Now that's your new X. My biggest issue is just, you know, he had a hip injury. He's had a groin injury. He's had a knee. None of them are substantial, but like he has missed time over back-to-back years with a couple of lower body injuries. But I do love the tape. And every time I watch Trey Harris, I'm just like, gosh, whoever gets this guy, good player, good player.
All right, we're going to go relatively fast through this, but we have a brand new simulator, ooh, which I've never used before, but I've checked that. Niners, we're going to start the draft. Would you like to go first or do you want to go second?
Oh, man, you first always. I struggle with the first round pick more than any of them because I'm just like that 11 spot is rough. I always try to trade down, but, you know, it's where it is. So,
okay, so now I haven't worked with this one before.
That's all right.
So I'm going to have to figure out exactly how it went. So let me look at draft. So this is how it went, I guess, right, in front of us?
Correct.
Cam Ward went one. Shadur went two. Hunter went three. Campbell went four. Abdul Carter went five. Jenty to the Raiders. Graham to the Jets. Tet McMillan to the Jaguars. Jaylon Walker, 9 to the Saints. Membu goes 10 right in front of the 49ers. So Membu, Walker, McMillan, Graham, they're off the board. Let's see who's on the board. Tyler Warren, Will Johnson, Kelvin Banks, Colston Loveland, Jadai Barron, Mikel Williams, Shamar Stewart. Now, if you want to trade,
the bottom right, you see the little, yeah, there you go. We've got 8 trade opportunities there.
8 trades have been thrown our way. Let's take a look.
That's what it says. Let's
take a look. Falcons said you can get 15 and 46.
Oh, geez.
That's a dream.
Jeez.
That's a dream. 15 and 46 is the dream. Let's see what else is offered. 30, 56, and 62 from Buffalo. That goes all the way to 30, though. You're going to lose out on some guys.
Yeah, second 30. And a third. Buffalo's got a lot of draft pick capital.
Yep. You could go from Chicago down to 39 and get 41 and 72. You could trade down to 17 and get 49. But why would you do that if you can get 15 and 46? Detroit says 28, 60, and 102. And the Texans are offering 25, 79, and 89. And Jacksonville's offering 36, 57, and 70. Miami's offering 13 and 98.
I think Miami's the most realistic as far as like what I think the Niners could get in a draft haul. It's not the best trade out there. But if we're going realistic route and we did trade back, that Miami trade I think is probably...
You think that's better than the Falcon trade?
I don't think it's better. I think it's more realistic. I have a hard time seeing, you know, the Falcons giving up a first and a second. They don't have any draft capital at all. That trade is better.
Since Atlanta's offering, let's do it. How do I do it?
Just hit that green check button, golden, and man, I would love that. I would absolutely love this.
Yeah. So the Niners get the 15th pick and the 46th pick, and Atlanta gets the 11th pick. Okay, so now we're at 15. Is the draft going still?
You just got to hit start. There you go. It picks back up, and then we're golden.
Okay, so now...
And we're using sticktothemodel.com, which is a fun new draft.
So let's see, who did we move? So we lost out on Shamar Stewart, Kelvin Banks, Will Johnson, Mikel Williams. I'm fine with all that. Oh, my God. That would almost be a dream. If the Niners could trade back from 11 to 15 and have those four guys come off the board, because I'm worried about the Niners picking all four of these guys.
I am, too. I'm higher on Kelvin Banks, but
I know, but I mean, I'm a little higher on Shamar Stewart than others, but you know, I don't like, to me, all those guys represent risk.
Okay, and so see, now one of my favorite things about doing this, though, Larry, is because these are the conversations that take place in war rooms. You're going to have a scout that loves Shamari. You're going to have a coach that loves Kelvin, and they're going to disagree. And like, this is why we spend time trying to recreate these scenarios, man. And so I love it whenever you're passionate about a guy, because it forces me and hopefully the listener to decide, maybe I'm a little more passionate about him than I thought, or maybe I'm a little more out than I thought. And that's what you guys got to come up with.
Okay, so now I'm sitting here still with the first pick, and I'm at 15 or whatever, 13 or whatever. But I've got Tyler Warren. I'd be debating right here between Tyler Warren. Do you go tight end with the best tight end? Do you go, and he's very safe. Do you go with Jadai Barron, who I just love? I think Barron is really, really special. Those would be the two guys I would be debating of over here. But then I also have five other trades being offered to me. So let me take a look real quick. Bears are offering 15 for 39 and 41. Okay. I don't know. 28 and 50 from Detroit, 25 and 58 from Houston, 22 and 55 from the Chargers. You know, I don't want to move back very far, but 22 and 55 is pretty much where I want to be. I think that's where I want to be.
We're double trade back. This is double the 49ers fans' dream.
This is the double trade back. Now we're going to start this thing up again. I'm going to lose out on Tyler Warren. It's all right. Okay. So let's just check out who did we lose out on there. We lost out on Kenneth Grant. Eman Worry. Loveland, Mike Green, Golden, Jadai Barron, Tyler Warren. Okay. So we lost out on Kenneth Grant. I think there's a chance that happens. All right. In this situation, I'm looking at a lot of players I really like. I love Tyler Booker, but I'm going to go Walter Nolan. They need to go. This is how I want to start the draft. I want to trade back.
This is where he should go.
I want to trade back a couple times and get who's ever left between Walter Nolan and Kenneth Grant. So now you're up, and
now we got 3 second rounders.
Now we got more picks. Does it show our picks?
Yeah. If you click on your picks top right where that red is, it shows you who you've taken and when your picks are coming.
We started with pick 22 instead of pick 11. So we moved back 11 spots, but we have 43, 46, 55. We have three twos, two threes, two fours, two fives and three sevens.
We're going to get like 15 players.
This is how I want this draft to go. I want to trade back a couple times, get Walter Nolan, and have these picks right here in the second round. Because that's where I think this thing goes. All right. How do I get back there? Now, how do I?
So just click off of this, that just click on like the,
what am I?
You can click the X, or you can click just off that picture and it'll pull up the other one. There you go.
Okay, here we go.
So now if we're sitting here, now you could just start doing best player available because we have so damn many picks.
Right.
3 second rounders. So, like, the good thing about this, and this is the 49ers fans' dream. This is what we want to happen now. Are that many teams going to trade back? I doubt it. But if they do, you take it. And so I'm sitting there looking at Donovan Jackson, who I have a first-round grade on.
I love him. Long arms, left, can play left tackle, can play guard. In a lot of ways, Donovan Jackson, John, might be the perfect fit for what the Niners need right now. They need a guy who can play left guard, who maybe has projectable ability to tackle, and that's Jackson.
Yeah, Donovan Jackson is a home run pick here. And so you're getting a starter. He starts left guard. You could kick him out if you wanted to. There's no conversation for me here if he falls this far. And we have 3 seconds because of all those trade backs. Donovan Jackson would be my pick.
Okay.
Building the trenches, baby.
I love it. So, the other thing I'm keeping track of, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I have the Niners needing starters, two D tackles, one D end, a left guard, a corner, a linebacker, and a running back. That's as far as seven starters. So we got one D tackle and we got that left guard. So we got two of our needs out of the way right away. So we still have starting needs at D tackle, D end, corner, linebacker, and running back. All right, let's take a look. Now we're sitting here on the board in the in round two.
Now it's your turn. I'm excited. Yeah,
I love Travion Henderson. Really do.
Same. He's my number three running back and close to a first round grade. I couldn't do it, but close.
Really like Quinshon Judkins quite a bit too. All these guys are on the board, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then there's their Trey Harris right there.
And so the picks get light if you already took that position. So all the defensive tackles and interior offensive linemen are a little bit lighter, but you can still double up.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Okay. So Travion Henderson would be tough to pass here, but it's such a good running back draft. So I really like the going defensive line or offensive line, but you went offensive line. I don't think there's Omar Norman Lott who would be a really nice pick. But I think I think they need a weapon and the tight ends are gone. I'm going to go Trey Harris here.
Yeah, you just gave us the monologue, man. Why not? Get your dude. You trade back, you get these guys.
I'm going Trey Harris here. I think Trey Harris is a – now you got a receiver. Now you don't need a receiver. Now you're okay.
Right.
That receiver. Now it doesn't matter. Now Ayuk can take his time. Take your time, Ayuk. All right, now we're at pick 50. And do you want to – there's seven trade offers. I don't want to trade back more.
Yeah, because I don't. I think we've got enough.
I think we got enough here.
Carson Switzer. I'm just man. The one thing about this trade back or double trade back is now you just get to sit back and plug and play. Carson Switzer. I have a second round grade on. I don't think this is a great linebacker class. It's decent, but man, you put him next to Fred Warner. Again, that's one of our needs that we have. Carson Switzer. That's a starting linebacker. He's your number two. For a long time, just he'll be a fan favorite. Just amazing off the field character, IQ, check, 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 and just tackling machine. Carson Switzer, sign me up. Our linebacker position's filled.
Got it. Very productive linebacker. Hard to miss with that one. Pretty safe pick there. I kind of think linebackers are safe picks if you can get the right guys. Okay, so now we're at pick 70. And you know, Lynch is going to want to draft Iamanor. He's sitting right there.
Do you think two X wide receivers early is Trey Harris?
There's no way. No, I'm taking Trey Harris partly so I don't have to take Iamanor. You know what? I mean, seriously, I don't want Iamanor. I watched Iamanor. He's big and fast and smart and he's a scout's dream. And then the game starts. And he's totally covered all the time. So I'm going to look at our needs now. Let's take a look at corner.
Ooh,
Jacob Parrish is right there and he's too clean. And dude, I'm taking it.
You're my man, Larry.
Well, I'm a believer. I saw this kid stonewall people and he's just very physical. And then when he ran 4.36, that's it. And, go on to the next prospect. So I'm going Parrish there. You got to have the corner. That's the one thing. The Niners can't forget the corner. Yeah, they need linemen. Yeah, they need this and that. They need another receiver. They can't forget the corner. And I would, especially somewhere there, 2, 3, 4, they've got to invest in a real good corner. Because if you look at their Trey Brown, if the season started right now, Trey Brown is your starter as the third corner with no injuries at all. Trey Brown, he's never been a full-time starter. He's played very little without getting hurt. So
39 missed games in 4 years.
Yeah, no way. So you're up right now with pick 93. And
man, we don't have an edge yet, Larry.
We don't have an edge, but I will say this. You're staring at a nice-looking board here. I don't know how you feel about Helm, but Chris Paul, Matt Barrow's draft crush is there. Ty Felton.
Like him.
Damn good receiver. He's there. Savion's there. You don't need that necessarily because we got that. Tez is there. Billy Bowman from Oklahoma is a pretty damn good player.
Kyle then you Williams. Move
down here. Oof. Savion Jones and Emory Jones. In my ideal world, the Niners could get both these guys. And then you have Frazier, who's also a very good offensive lineman. As far as he's, I think, if you said to me, bet on a 49er pick on the offensive line, I would guess day three, Miles Frazier, because he can play right guard, left guard, right tackle, left tackle. You know what I mean? When you can play them all, you know what I mean? I think he's going to be very attractive to them. He's 6'5", 3 1/4". He's pretty athletic, long arms, good guy. But you're looking here at some really good players. I mean, I'm seeing players that I really love here. Quincy Riley, they met him at the combine. They brought him in for a 30 visit. Noel Williams is a productive interceptor. R.J. Harvey is a great running back.
I love R.J. Harvey. I absolutely love that dude.
Love him. That's part of the reason I didn't go running back earlier is that I love R.J. Harvey.
Man, I want to look at Edge, if you don't mind. Okay. If you click on Edge and sort it.
Barry, so you got Savion Jones, who's a big-bodied edge. He's like a 290-pound edge, who might not even be an edge. Johnny might be more of a interior, you know, change-up interior rusher. You have Walker from Central Arkansas, who's short. You know, he's 6'1", 270. But, man, that's it. That's the only negative on him. Outside of being short, that guy's a beast. I kind of thought Sorrell from Texas really impressed me in the All-Star game, and just his explosive ability. He's impressive. Antoine Powell Ryland. I had Jod Joyner on the channel last week. Nice kid. There's a lot of good defensive ends.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with the Arkansas, Central Arkansas guy. Let's go David Walker. I'm a huge David Walker guy.
I love it. Love it. Yeah. He's really underrated program. Really underrated program. All right, so let's see. We are up now at pick 113. And, man, if this is the way it comes off the board, let's see. Let's take a look at our picks, by the way.
Dude, right now
we have Walter Nolan. We've got a defensive tackle. I mean, I'll absolutely love the way this. If this draft goes this way, John, this is an awesome draft. What you traded back twice. You have Walter Nolan, Donovan Jackson, Trey Harris, Carson Schlesinger, Jacob Parrish, David Walker. And you still have 2 picks in the 4th, 2 picks in the 5th, and 3 picks in the 7th. I mean, this is a great dream scenario.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. A lot of people like Kyle Williams. I'm a big fan of Emory Jones. Do I pass on Emory Jones? But you know what? I got to have defensive line. Oh, I got to have R.J. Harvey. So I'm going to go R.J. Harvey.
I love it. I think Shanahan gets his toy. And like, I want to see R.J. Harvey and Shanahan. Like, that is a match made in heaven where you get the most out of R.J. Harvey. There's just something about watching that dude play football.
And I love some of the D-tackles. I could have gone Ty West there, but I love the depth of the D-tackles. All right, you're up, and you're at pick 130, and you're looking at DJ Giddens. You're looking at J.J. Pegues, Jeffrey Bossa, Elijah Roberts.
Ooh, I'm going to go. I'm good. I don't need to look further.
Really?
Elijah Roberts, the 49ers have met with not once, not twice, 3 times. He can play defensive end. He can play defensive tackle. He's that hybrid guy. Went from, I think it was Miami to SMU, right?
Yeah.
Elijah Roberts. I like him, man.
Yeah, I like him. You want him? Yes, Elijah sir. Roberts is a Niner. All right. And the Niners pick at 147. So now we don't have to wait very long. And there's options here. Okay. So now, all right. I got to take a look at my picks now.
We've got so many, man. This is
okay. So we got D tackle, we got left guard, we got a receiver, got a linebacker, got a corner, got an edge rusher, got a running back, got another D lineman. Is he an end? Is he a tackle? He's 290 and he's a pass rusher. All right. I guess you just go best available here. Bossa, they talk to, and that's
I like Bossa.
I know I like a lot of people like Bossa. Kobe Bryant would be very intriguing to me there. Just look further down the list. Got to look for Mitchell Evans. Not bad. Ooh, I like Riley Leonard. I watched the QB school last night with Riley Leonard. I love Breshard Smith, but we've already got the receiver and the runner. I know this is going to be unpopular. But
Your guy, man. Trade back this much. It gives you the opportunity to take these.
I'm going Riley Leonard.
I would love that in this situation. I would not be upset Riley at all.
Leonard. Have you seen the Riley Leonard Gruden quarterback?
I watched some clips of it. Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. There's something magical to me about Riley Leonard. So I'm going to take a shot, take a flyer on Riley Leonard. Okay, you're up at pick 141.
And all right, let's scroll down right a little bit. Yeah, I like Bosa. Rashard
Smith is sitting there. Dante Thornton is super fast. Kaiser, good linebacker. Cody Simon's a good linebacker.
Oh, Chase Lunt. I'm good. We don't have a tackle yet. I think that would be a perfect Chase Lunt. Offensive tackle UConn, man.
Let's do it. Chase Lunt comes to the Niners. We are now in what round are we in here? We're pick 170, 80, 181. Where's their Niners next pick? Let's see. It's coming up here.
We are in the – this is sixth round where we don't have one.
We don't have a sixth round pick.
227.
This is when we go to make a sandwich.
Yeah.
Lots of good players are coming off the board. Lots of good players. Oh, my God. Just like Kyle Manung guy. All right, here we are.
Now we got three sevenths.
We got three sevenths. And we could have traded up anytime probably into the sixth if we wanted to. Okay, so now we're looking at now who's – did you just go or did I just go?
It's your turn. You're up.
That's my turn. Okay. I'm just looking for anybody who I can – who I think is going to – at this point, this is a seventh round. You're looking for guys that you think can make the team. Now, I really like a lot of these guys. I think Mullings is a really good player. I love Taj Brooks. Love Taj Brooks. Jaden Blue is very intriguing here, how fast he is. And that's intriguing. Nick Martin is a good player. But I'm Teddy Buchanan's right there. Oh, Willie Lampkin's right there. Conyers.
We don't have a tight end yet.
Yeah, in this scenario, I think I'm going Conyers.
I think I would too.
Conyers started, he didn't start at ASU, but I think he started somewhere else. Then he went to ASU. Then he went to Texas Tech, but he's 260 pounds. He's a good receiver. I really like Jalen Conyers quite a bit. All right,
let's
249.
Click safety. Can we click safety? That's one of the only positions we haven't. Oh, there Craig he is. Woodson, my guy. I love me some Craig Woodson out of Cal. I'm higher on him than almost everybody.
John, he looked great at the local pro day. Very smooth. Very smooth. Good athlete, physical, but good cover guy. You want to go Woodson here?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good
one. I'd be happy taking him in the fifth.
All right. So now, is this the last pick? Is this the last pick? Okay. So this is the last pick. Let's take a look at our picks one more time. Let's see what we got. D tackle, offensive guard, wide receiver, linebacker, corner, edge, running back, D-line. Quarterback, O-line, tight end, safety. All right, that's good. Now let's take a look. Let me look at linebacker because I think there's great linebackers here. Teddy Buchanan might be a tough guy to pass for me, but I'm going Eugene Asante.
I love Eugene, man. I like both those guys.
Yeah, to me, Eugene Asante is a star. I think Eugene Asante is going to be a great player. I'd be shocked if he's there. All right, this might be the best mock that I've ever done. Seriously, this might be the best mock ever. Walter Nolan, Donovan Jackson, Trey Harris, Carson Schlesinger, Jacob Parrish, David Walker, R.J. Harvey, Elijah Roberts, Riley Leonard, Chase Lunt, Jalen Conyers, Craig Woodson, Eugene Asante. And do we get any picks next year? No.
Nah, but no, we don't. Man, you pull this draft haul. Good Lord.
How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 picks. So we're really only adding two picks, but we just moved around. We just moved around the board. And you know what? This would be a dream scenario because of this group, John, how many guys do you think play right away? Nolan starts for sure, right?
Jackson starts.
Jackson starts at left guard. Trey Harris, I don't know, probably not, but he could. Schlesinger starts opposite Warner. Parrish starts for sure.
Walker doesn't start, but rotates.
Walker rotates. Harvey's off the bench. Roberts could wind up starting.
He could be your second defensive tackle.
Yeah. The rest of these guys, Woodson could wind up starting at some point. Yeah, that's a good one. The only thing I'll say about this, like, if you said, is there anything that, looking back at this, that you don't like? And the only thing I would say is that we only got two defensive linemen. Right?
Oh, we got three. Elijah Roberts is the hybrid. Walter Nolan, David three. Walker.
We got an edge rusher. We got an edge rusher, a D tackle, and a hybrid. So we didn't get, I was hoping to, you know, so we got three. I was looking for more like five.
Yeah, right.
You know,
and that's what's crazy is we traded back and we got a plethora of picks, and we're still, that's the state of the 49ers roster, sadly, is that there are a lot of holes to fill. There is no more, oh, there's no room for these draft picks. That doesn't make sense anymore. There is room, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot, we got 13 and we still could have used more.
Seriously, we definitely could have used more. All right, good stuff. Good stuff. Once again, you know, draft is approaching, and we're inside of 2 weeks until actual draft day. So, one more plug before we get out of here for John's draft party. Thursday, April the 24th, you can meet Demo Lenore at Broadway Studios. You can get tickets at 49ERRushRoadTrip.com. 49ERRushRoadTrip.com. Still good seats available. This is for day one or day two. Do they buy one pass and get it for both, or do they buy each day? Is that how?
Yeah,
how
you buy each day. So it's just $20 each day. That's it. You know, food, drinks, all that stuff's going to be there for purchase and whatnot. And yeah, we'll be broadcasting live from there. It's going to be a blast. Ah, cannot wait. If you want somebody to be a better 49ers fan, bring them. Bring your youngster. They get in free. It's going to be great, man.
Hell of this, hell of that with the super. When I say Mike Green, you say?
Who?
What do you think of Mike Green?
I like him a lot. I mean, he's a top 10 player on my board, judging on the tape. I actually do not put him into the category of the craziness that is out there. The 49ers met with him not once, but twice in the past 30 days. Never even spoke to the police about the allegations. Never even files charges, none of that. Are the 49ers comfortable with it? If they are, then I would be as well.
Raj K, Larry and Willie Lampkin, it's coming. LOL. He was on the board. He was on the board there at the end, but I passed him up because you know what? I just had to. All right, that's going to do it for us. I'm going to be, as far as to the rest of Saturday, what am I doing today? I'm going to watch a little Giants baseball, Giants and Yankees. I'm going to probably put out I'm putting out a video on Barrow's Draft Crush. We'll do that coming up. Kev's in Coachella this weekend partying his
ass
off.
Way to go, Kev.
So that's why you're not seeing Kev here popping into the mix. But that's going to do it for us. John, tell people, when do you go live next? What's next for the channel?
Yeah, I'm part
today
of
today or tomorrow. Or?
It's tonight. I got like tonight. A 3-hour show tonight. We're doing Epic Mock 25, where 32 podcasters represent all 32 teams. And so today is day three. So we're going to start around 4:00, and we're going through day three every single pick, which is going to be a lot of fun. So you can check that out. Just type in 49ers Rush wherever you are. It's going to be a good time.
Awesome. For John, I'm Larry. Have a great Saturday. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle and our sponsors here. All the links for the sponsors are in the description below. Thanks to John. Thanks to all of you. Have a great Saturday. Peace. Yeah, never met a
man I've been scared of. Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.